Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM News Talk 580 with Prout Financial Design. Hail, hail, the gang is all here as we welcome Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Ron CFP. Jolly. So good to see you this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's the Jolly fam?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Excellent. You're welcome. Yes. Today is March 10, Thursday, and joining us today is Heidi Thompson.
Good morning. It's good to morning. Be here. It's a little cold out today.
It is chilly. It is. Indeed.
Even though it's March.
And yeah, we're apparently moving on to higher temps next week, but this weekend is daylight savings time.
Correct.
Yes.
Spring forward.
Yep. Losing
hours.
There
we go.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Thank
yeah.
you.
I did
There's some
not
happy news
that.
For you.
This is like the best news of the day. Thank you. I'm sorry. I've been caught up in like this.
I don't know what happens, but sure, it gets
Shea never set
a
clock
later.
Back last time, so you don't have to do it this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I can't get my computer to do it, so that's a great relief because I've been trying to adjust the last, however many months.
It's so tough sometimes. So Heidi Thompson, our own retirement income certified professional, welcome. Glad to have you here. We're going to be talking about today about divorce, but before we do that, we're talking with Shea Pataja, too, our own CXO.
Yes.
Our own CXO, and she has some interesting factoids to share with us as well.
About divorce.
In the Shea Stats about divorce.
Yeah, this is not a fun topic. It's our least favorite show of the year, but it's necessary, and we feel like we can help you and give some great tips and advice. So Dennis has information from Ed Slott, which is the five mistakes to avoid.
Avoiding mistakes in a divorce in five easy steps. We're going to be discussing that in detail, as well as some other articles that we have to help folks either with themselves or sometimes, obviously, their children to work through the process of, given the worst has happened almost, how do we navigate this thing?
Yeah, and so one thing that we're seeing, and the attorneys are seeing an uptick, internet searches are getting an uptick of divorce post-pandemic. So all this forced time together might have brought a few things out. So this is an article from the BBC. The leading British law firm Stewart's logged a 122% increase in inquiries between July and October last year compared with the same period last year. So it went up in 2021 compared to 2020. And in the U.S., a major legal contract creation site recently announced a 34% rise in sales of its basic divorce agreement, with newlyweds who got married in the previous 5 months making up 20% of sales. So, yeah, especially hard on newlyweds that got married and then were forced into quarantine. It's pretty rough. So why is it? The research shows that it was the perfect storm. You've got lockdowns, social distancing from community, having normal activities that stimulate couples apart from one another, getting sick with COVID, long hauler symptoms, the financial strain, rise in mental health issues, and the added pressures of the pandemic lockdown, and then this continued state of uncertainty. And if couples are not well established, it's too much, way too much. And the articles that goes on to talk about even couples choosing to stay in separate rooms because they were afraid of infecting one another if one worked.
And she doesn't hang the toilet paper upright either.
Yeah. And then there's that.
Yeah. That was that added stress.
The added stress. And who squeezes the
There are only two ways the toilet paper can go on there. Can we get this right?
So also one thing that I think that we've noticed even within ourselves, whether or not this affects a marriage, I don't know, but the pandemic created a space for existential reevaluations. So what do I want from my life? Who do I want to do this life with? And the disruption of norms and rhythms really highlighted issues that might have been minor before. They really came to the surface and became major. What's been different in the significant increase in the number is the number of women initiating divorces, with 76% of new cases coming from female clients compared to 60% a year ago. The belief is that this trend ties in with the findings of numerous studies showing working parents living through COVID-19 that there was still a disproportionate share of housework that fell and childcare that fell on women. So the idea was like, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. We're all going to be together in lockdown. But then someone's not leaving for work. The expectations of who's going to take care of what, who's going to homeschool, who's going to give up their job to take care of the kids that are now home. It just all became too much. And we've seen a rise of that. I've seen it in my own friend group as the pandemic kind of lets up.
So given what's happening here, we thought it only necessary to actually try to talk through this and talk to not necessarily just the retirement accounts, but also other assets, talking about getting counsel, appropriate counsel, stepping back, if you will, and in some cases even moving more slowly as you navigate this process. Obviously, extremely difficult because of the emotions involved and how difficult navigating it is. A great way to start this is by this beginning paragraph from Ed Slott and Company. When a divorce occurs, the financial assets of a couple, including the retirement accounts, are often split. If mistakes are made during this process, the stress of a divorce can be compounded when one or both spouses find that they are subject to unnecessary taxes or penalties. So everyone's financial situation has only gotten more complex. As we're trying to help create our own retirements, perhaps, and this can even happen in younger spouses, if you will, because they've been accumulating these IRAs, these Roth IRAs, 401ks, all the rest, because they know that the responsibility is going to be on them to try to make this work. It's not just the house and or, you know, the tractor in the garage or whatever it is. It tends to be much more complex than that in the situations that we've seen. We were talking about it before the show. We often see, not to pick on attorneys, but we're going to here, the attorney agreements that are written are just not going to cut it anymore. Mm-hmm. They are not complex enough. They are not sophisticated enough. They don't tell the custodians who are handling these IRA accounts and the 401k accounts with the appropriate documents needed to get this accurately disseminated amongst the two individuals. So it's not just the couples who are having a problem in this. It's the legal minds who are still acclimating to this new, more complex environment. Everyone has to come up to speed in what's happening here. So that's what we're going to try to do here this morning, all in one swell swoop. All right. So IRAs in divorce. To properly divide an IRA in a divorce as a result of a divorce, specific language on the structure of who gets what should be included in the marital settlement agreement. Who gets what? All right. John gets the Roth IRA. Susie gets the traditional IRA. Or they're splitting them each. It needs to be specific.
But you also want to, that's an interesting thing you just said. Somebody got the Roth and somebody got the IRA. But from a financial side, what we would think of as financial advisors is, well, the traditional IRA has a tax liability in the future where the Roth doesn't. So did that come into play in that settlement as well? Just what asset you're getting, you have to think about the taxes and the future impact.
What I said without saying it, and thank you for bringing that, is that in this case, one of them might want tax-free income and the other doesn't mind having taxable income, but that is a great point. Are you thinking, about No, it's important. So what are you thinking about the tax consequence? Probably not. That's not my first thought when I'm getting a divorce, right?
Right. You're not thinking in the future. You just want to get done with this.
That's often the problem. Thank you for saying that. Many times, as Shay was relating, the friends are saying, oh my gosh, if I just could go back and go a little more slowly.
Yeah.
Now, it's understood that you want to get through this process. You want your children to get through this process. I've talked to parents and said, and they have said, you know, oh, we'll just use Susie again as an example, not any real client, of course. Susie's definitely doing better without him in this particular situation. So it's not all bad. Sometimes these divorces are necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's very, very sad as well.
But right. Everyone wants it to go fast and get it over with, and that's understandable,
right,
as well.
Right, because it's painful.
Can you do, suppose each spouse had a 401k from their jobs, and they had, let's just say, two IRAs separately, we'll leave it at that, and they're all worth different amounts, they're valued at different amounts. Can they split all of them in half, or is that seems like that'd be a lot of paperwork and maybe expense?
They can split the 401ks in half through what's called a qualified domestic relations order. That's the quadro. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
As a part of the agreement, the IRAs cannot be part of a quadro. They have to be part of the marital separation agreement. So they're two separate entities there. But you can split up the IRAs based on their taxability and what they own and what they can do internally. What is that asset inside of that IRA? What are the assets inside of the 401k? Are there before tax monies? Is there a Roth account in the 401k? You see where a financial advisor, this just turns into a morass of difficulty, the word of the day, not to make fun of it, but it is incredibly complicated. So you want to make sure you know the score. Wise people seek counsel. Seek counsel in this event, not just from your attorney. I get that the attorneys are trying to get the negotiation settled. They're trying to get the documents done properly, but they cannot be the Jack or Jane of all trades when it comes down to this. They cannot. So you want to take a look at how can I get this done and how can I serve my interests at the same time? They both have to be equally served in this event.
I also like the point that Heidi brought up earlier that we were talking about, that even you need to do a proper investigation of all things. So it's debt, it's assets, it's, you know, material things, items, whatever, all that comes into play, but also letting go of, to some extent, what's fair, because it may not come out as fairly as you think, and you can do the best you can do, but you've got to think about what's best for your children and the future. So I thought that was a good point, because that would be very difficult for me.
Well, being on the other side of divorce, because I had a divorce many years ago, and just all that, there's so much emotion and so much going on that really, when you look at this other stuff, you don't want to make bad decisions for your future self because you're upset, or because you just don't want to have anything to do with it, or you just want it to be over. And I think what we're trying to say is, let's get the lay of the land and use some counsel from outside people who have a more objective view of the situation, and help you put together a plan. And like you said, it may not always be exactly fair, but you have to think about a resolution. A resolution is worth something. So, you know, to get stuck on one thing or the other thing, you want to look at the whole picture.
You bet. Resolution can be, makes a lot of sense. And to go further in the IRAs, a copy of the executed agreement, the marital settlement agreement, should be given to the IRA custodian. But before we go on from there, make certain that the IRA custodian is going to accept that marital settlement agreement. What language does the IRA custodian want? What? Yes. You want to know that, because some language doesn't work. For instance, all the assets held by Prout Financial Design for the client XYZ should be transferred to the spouse. The custodian's not going to accept that language.
Yeah.
Who's the custodian?
Sort of.
Who's the custodian? Could be TD Ameritrade, Schwab, Fidelity. So we get that. That's the company. Prout is simply your representative offering you advice through that custodian. But the custodian has to be named. Who holds the assets? Whether it's American Funds, Fidelity, Vanguard.
Ed Jones, whoever
Ed
it
Jones.
Is.
And if it's E.D. Jones, how is that asset held? So you see, you want to dig deeper in some respects.
And to that point, if you are getting a divorce, it is good to call and let your financial advisor know that that's what's happening, even if you can't meet with them immediately, because we don't see you all the time. We're not in your life enough to know the details. So
get your financial advisor involved from the get-go,
mm-hmm.
so that they can give you this language, so that they can help arm you with the information you're going to need to get this done. Because the judge is, in most cases, is not going to sit there and say, I'm sorry, that marital settlement agreement is not going to work because you didn't name the custodian. He or she is not going to say that.
Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the devil's in the details. Yes. Qualified plans in a divorce. Now, how far? We're in our time here.
Well, Dennis, can I say one more thing on
yes,
IRA?
Please do.
Before
yes.
we move on.
Right.
Because something to keep in mind if you're in a divorce and you have the language from the court and it's the proper language, but if it says you need to take some of your IRA and give it to your ex-spouse, you got to be careful not to just take the money out of the IRA, put it in your checking account, and write your spouse a check, because then you are going to be on the hook for that tax liability for that distribution and any penalties.
Yes, so. These have to be done by a trustee-to-trustee transfer, because this receiving spouse may well be not yet 59 and a half. Well, he or she then, if they take that distribution and don't in every case, it has to be trustee-to-trustee transfer. Obviously, you don't want to pay the penalty, but you don't want to pay the tax, and you want to control how that's done. So that has to be via a trustee. That simply means that the one IRA asset goes to your IRA asset as the spouse, and it goes direct.
Right.
Okay? As clearly as we can state this. Sometimes... Well, not sometimes. I would say in every case, this should be a conversation you have face-to-face with your financial mm-hmm. advisor. Do not try to have these conversations over the phone. You can see the disconnect even here on the radio. It's hard to communicate it. So looking in this account, asking the financial advisor these open-ended questions now, how do I do this again, and what is the language that I need? All of this can be done relatively quickly. And perhaps it's not just one conversation, perhaps two or three, to make certain that it's done properly. Okay, let's take a break, shall we, Ron?
Did you want just a news item? I don't know how new this is. I think it's new. The Consumer Price Index is up for February, 7.9% compared to this time last year.
Yeah,
wow.
That's
a
40-year high.
40-year high, yeah.
By the way, thank you for mentioning that. In next week, we're going to talk about the global economic situation and what our take is on it. We're hearing lots, getting lots of information, and we think we can add to that conversation next week as well. So you had an interesting little story regarding your brother.
We're talking about divorce, and he said after his second divorce, he said, "Do you know why divorce costs so much?" And I said, "No, why?" And he said, "Because it's worth it." Okay.
Yeah, a particular take, you bet. So, number two, qualified plans in divorce. Qualified plans. Now, what is a qualified plan? Just for review, 401ks?
Yep.
457s?
Yep.
Let's see, what else? Profit sharing. Other qualified plans, not IRAs.
No.
Okay.
Correct.
Qualified plans. Can't be split by a divorce agreement. They require a special court order known as a quadro.
Jeez. Oh, okay.
Qualified domestic relations order. Now, a quadro doesn't work on an IRA. So make certain that you know this. And this one piece here, avoiding mistakes in a divorce in five easy steps, these are the financial mistakes generally that can be for qualified plans. A great resource. If you do find yourself in need of this, we can easily get this to you. So just call our office, 231-947-3992. We'll be happy to get this to you as you need it. So once a quadro has been issued, it should be sent to the qualified plans administrator. Well, generally, that's through where you work. The administrator of the plan will need to be notified through your human resources department. The terms of the plan will determine when the spouse received the funds. In some plans, a lump sum distribution will be available immediately that you can in turn then transfer to your IRA as the spouse in this particular situation tax-free. While in other plans, benefits may not be payable until the ex-spouse has a triggering event like retirement or they're no longer at the employer. Those are triggering events. Why do you want to know this? No, make certain that you know the speed. So in this particular plan, it allows a lump sum. Obviously, can make a significant difference to you as the divorcing spouse and accepting that asset or not. Well, I didn't know that 401k couldn't be distributed out to me. Well, I wish you would have known that before the fact. So you see the importance of that in terms of your own financial well-being. Okay.
So if the IRAs can't be split, and suppose there are two, we'll just say two of them, one's worth $300,000, one's worth $50,000, and you can't split those, so you just have to work it out amongst yourselves.
We're talking only the 401k.
But I'm saying with the IRAs, they
IRAs
can't be split.
Can be split.
Oh, they can be.
Always IRAs can be split.
401ks cannot.
May not allow for a lump sum distribution, even though they are allowed to be split. See how confusing this is?
I thought you said IRAs couldn't be split, but they can. Okay.
They can be split.
Got it.
Qualified plans can't be split by a divorce agreement.
You need.
They require a special court order known as the quadro. So that qualified plan, again, the 401k.
Quadro
related to qualified plans. Sometimes you feel like, gee, should we have a class on this? It's kind of crazy.
We'd have to have two separate nights.
Security.
Security. Mm-hmm. Now, what to do with the received funds? So you're on the other side of this. You're getting a distribution from the plan. If you're receiving a portion of an IRA, in the IRA world, you will likely want to move the funds over to your own IRA to avoid incurring tax and possibly the 10% early distribution penalty. However, if you're receiving a distribution pursuant to a quadro, which again is only related to 401ks, in qualified employer plans, you want to consider if you'd be using any of the funds prior to age 59 and a half. Funds received directly from a plan under a quadro are exempt from the 10% penalty. If you roll those funds over to an IRA and let her take a distribution, the 10% early distribution penalty will apply. So you may want to leave those funds in that 401k with the same administrator to avoid the 10% penalty. You see, or all of a sudden, this can make a significant difference. So how you maneuver this, pay attention, okay? It may not always make sense to immediately transfer that qualified account, the employer account, to your IRA. You're 50 years old. You received this 401k. Leave it in that 401k through the company so that you can take distributions from it without incurring that 10% penalty.
And then once you're 59 and a half, you could roll it to an IRA.
Yes.
And also something to keep in mind is you don't have the 10% penalty, but you still have to pay income tax.
Yes. So income taxes will be applied. Now, and that's another great point. You need to discount these assets given their taxability. Let's say, now any of these conversations can apply in just about any financial situation, correct? Whether we're talking about retirement or divorce. Okay, the house, according to the tax receipt, is worth $360,000. Okay. Well, that means the SEV is $180,000, let's say, keep it simple. Well, Zillow says it's worth $550,000, and it may be much more accurate. So having a couple of pieces of information there can be helpful in as to its real value or its true value. But what's the taxability when we sell that house? Well, the house is probably going to be at zero, probably. If indeed that's the case, remember that that home, if you intend to liquidate it, may be worth a whole lot more than that pithy retirement account sitting over there. It's the same value. The retirement account's at 550. Which one would you rather have? Does it always have to come down to the finances? Partially, yes. What's the taxability on the house? A big fat zero in most cases. The tax on that 401k, 30%.
Right, but you got to take into account emotion. So someone may not want any of the memories, or, you know, they don't want the house. And that's also where it gets a little sticky, because someone may say, oh, I'll just take, give me the retirement accounts and I'm going to go find my own new place, new energy.
I want the dog and you can have everything else.
Basically.
No, don't do that.
I mean, it's hard to say. Yeah. With,
yeah. So there may be some other components that arise out of that, but keeping that in mind, what's the real net value?
You got to get all the facts.
Then in terms of both he and she understand, we're going to liquidate that stupid house. Neither one of us
want it, perhaps, in that case.
So given that we're going to do that, let's figure out how to split that benefit as well as the IRA, perhaps, equally. So there are all kinds of ways this can be done. But remember, the tax consequence, if you take a 30% deduction on a $500,000 IRA account, that's going to take you to a net of about $350,000 after the $150,000 in taxes. So that 401k is really worth about $350,000 in today's dollars. See?
See?
Yeah.
We had a text question here.
Yes.
And it says, what if the spouse only has a Roth and not an IRA? So I'm assuming a couple, they're talking about one spouse has a Roth, not an IRA.
Well, the Roth is the best of all scenarios because it's not taxable in any event. So counting that as zero tax is where you want to be in almost every case. Now, there may be some tax on the gain depending on how long it's been owned. If it's been owned less than 5 years or converted in less than a five-year period, then the gain will be taxable. But you want to take a look at that part. But given that most of it's tax-free, that's a much more valuable asset than a traditional or regular IRA in from a tax net standpoint. Okay? Yes. What to do with your received funds? You likely want to move the funds over to your own IRA to avoid incurring tax and possibly 10% early distribution penalty. Next. 4, name new or update your beneficiaries.
Very important.
Oh my gosh. A constant issue. We see this all the time in terms of the IRS. If you have left your previous spouse's name on your 401k and have not remarried, that's going to incur a lot of difficulty in terms of the legal standing of that retirement account. You need to rename your children or new spouse as the primary beneficiary. Change the beneficiaries on all these accounts.
It's terribly awkward if they've remarried and there's an IRA and the primary beneficiary is the previous spouse. It's just not a good situation, but it is so important to relook at these beneficiary forms if you have the life event of a divorce, because the landscape is changing and you want that hard work that you've taken to build up this asset to go to the person that you want it to go to. And the way that happens is the beneficiary form. And I've seen this happen where, you know, the beneficiaries aren't changed. And usually it's like if you have a lot of different accounts, like an old 401k and things that, you know, you
in an annuity, in a life insurance contract.
Yeah. So the more things that you have, you know, you really want to make sure that you've got a list and I did this one, this one, this one, this one, because it's easy to overlook something that you don't pay attention to very much, or it might be really old and you don't keep up with the statements and things like that.
Can you change a beneficiary form with just a phone call, or can you fill out the form over? You
can't
have to go
just
in?
Do it with a phone call. Okay. It has to be a signed document.
Yep.
Okay.
In every case.
But you can do it as often as you want. I mean, you don't have to have a life event either. Even you can just change the beneficiary if you want to.
Well, unless you're married to that person in a 401k, always the primary beneficiary in a qualified employer plan has to be your spouse, because he or she automatically through the Department of Labor.
Right.
Is it the DOL?
The DOL. Yeah. ERISA.
The DOL oversees that in terms of the legal case. The spouse has to receive and be the primary beneficiary in those accounts,
that's
unless he or she has voluntarily signed off that primary beneficiary status.
And who would do that?
There you go. Number five, reassess retirement preparedness. For many, a divorce is an emotionally draining and traumatic event, but for some, the emotional impact is compounded by a significant change to personal finance. Just like any other major life event, it's beneficial to reevaluate your retirement once you get your feet back on the ground. I'll just add that. Mm-hmm. And financial plans to determine the best course of action. Given what I've wound up with and where I am at, how do I move forward? How do I make this work now in my new life? Mm-hmm. With just a Doug.
Just a Doug?
Just a Doug.
Indeed. Just a dog and an empty house and a big tax bill. No, hopefully not.
Before we go to that, Heidi, Heidi's got a few things, personal things to share, but we didn't say this at the beginning of the show, and I just want to say it now. Thank you to our listeners. We get so much support and good words from those who listen, including our clients. It is so appreciated. We love doing this show. Honestly, we do our very best. We spend a lot of time not to, blow our own horn, but it's a serious endeavor for us. And indeed, we do take it seriously. Mm-hmm. So thank you to our listeners, to all those who support us, and to WTCM for being a part of that. It's been an awesome 15 to 20 year journey, depending on what time frame you're talking about.
As we sit here in the Prout Financial Design Studio, if you could see our studio, you could see the big Prout sign on the wall there.
Mm-hmm.
See that?
It's nice and bright.
It's a good thing to see that, because then I go, oh, yeah, that's us.
Yeah.
That's who we are.
That's who I am.
All right. So, Heidi. Heidi's got some good personal information to share as a part of this.
Well, just some cautionaries and helpful hints or whatever. I got divorced many years ago, but it was a very contentious divorce. So my experience was rather long. It took a 10-year litigation that I went through. Involved a lot of custody things, but it was also very draining on the financial side. And just some cautions too is you want to get the lay of the land, and don't just look, we're looking at it from IRAs and some of your financial assets, but there's also that other side, debt, consumer debt. You might find out that there's debt that you didn't know that there was, credit cards you didn't know about, or other things like that. So make sure you're looking at that whole picture. And you probably want to take a prudent view of what you're fighting for. Focusing on one thing that you have to have, how important is that really in the whole scheme of things? I was given alimony in my first divorce decree. Well, it was never paid, but it cost me more than the alimony to fight it in court to get my alimony. So at one point in the process, I'm like, this doesn't even make sense. I mean, am I going to pay more to get my alimony? So I chose, okay, I'm not gonna worry about that part anymore. So you want to, don't get so focused on the fight that you forget to look at, is this really beneficial? Am I really making a prudent, wise decision here? And you know, divorce, if it's amicable, I think, that's the best possible, where you can talk and you can work things out. And if you can do that, try to do that. Because if you're going to fight, it's emotionally draining, it's financially draining, and you're not always going to come out in the best situation. So there's just so many elements that go through it. And getting a financial perspective and a tax perspective, and you may want to look at counseling, and then counseling has cost as well. But all those pieces put together will help you come out better on the other side. Because there's so many things that go into it, you know, feelings, emotions, families, children. But just thinking through all those different issues, you want to end up the best place possible on the other side. So, I still have one more thing to do that goes with my divorce. And I'm in the process of it right now. And yes, it is many years later. But I promised my children that I would keep my married name while they were at home, because they didn't want that awkwardness of us having different last names and all the complexity that includes. So I'm an empty nester now. So I am going back to my birth name, to my family name. So I'm in the process, which I find is a very long process.
Jeez, of course.
Of course, to change my name. So I've had my hearing. It's been granted. So now I work through Social Security, Secretary of State, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm still known by both names, but...
Heidi, don't you have deep roots in this community, and can you tell us your maiden name or your name?
My birth name is Heidi Cartwright. And then my family name from here, my great-grandfather, who was the judge, his name was Gilbert, which was my grandmother's maiden name, but she married Oscar Cartwright. So
Oh, Oscar there, huh?
So that's where I got the Cartwright.
So it's going to be changing at some point here officially to Heidi Cartwright.
Heidi Cartwright to my phone already. So
yes, I can go back to the Bonanza jokes now.
Yeah, there we go.
So we have a few more points we can make in terms of this. Number three from the Investopedia article, which was actually quite helpful in this particular case, misvaluing marital assets. Especially when it's a complex asset like a business, each spouse should obtain their own independent valuation of major assets to make sure they're divided fairly. Where is that independent valuation coming from? See your accountant, possibly your financial advisor, perhaps a valuation expert in regards to what those assets are actually worth. You might be surprised. Not only the business owner, but also the spouse of the business owner might be surprised at the lower value or the higher value of that asset, depending on what it's producing, what the inventory is, all the rest of the buildings, on and on and on it goes. So make certain that you're getting a clear picture of the actual value of that business, because during that process, all of a sudden, instead of it being $50,000, it might be $100,000, $200,000, $500,000 difference in terms of the final settlement. And hurrying it can possibly hurt that valuation too. It may take a bit longer to liquidate those assets and or to fairly value them and or get that value financed so that you can be paid off. Maybe it's through other assets. However that might work, you see what that can bring. More information can tend to be helpful in some of these situations.
And to that point, if you want to come and talk to Dennis or Heidi, you can call our office and schedule a no obligation meeting. The office number is 947-3992, and this is especially helpful if you need to get a bigger perspective on all of this. And we've also had clients come in who are grandparents, and they are now shouldering a lot of the childcare that they weren't planning on doing. It's really shifted their own plan for retirement and where the funds are going to go if they had to help their child out to extricate them from a bad marriage. So there's lots of reasons to come in and talk to Dennis and Heidi and sort this out.
In the end, if this can be worked out and your spouse is, I'll just say this, not abusive, trying to work this out, maybe the best thing you can do in terms of not only preserving all these other things, but as well as that relationship. So that's what we would always go back to. Hopefully you can work through this and make this work in the end, eh?
All right. As always, thanks to Dennis, Heidi, and Shay at ProutFinancialDesign.com on the web.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at ProutFinancialDesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, FinancialDesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.